What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast.
Before we get into today's case, I did want to give an update on the Taylor Parker trial slash sentencing. If you're not familiar with this case, let me catch you up real quick. I have been covering it over on our TikTok mostly, but some on our Instagram too. But basically, yeah. On October 9th of 2020, 21-year-old Reagan Simmons Hancock was brutally attacked and killed and had her 34-week-old baby cut from her womb. Later that morning, Taylor Parker was pulled over by a state trooper for speeding and driving erratically. Parker claimed that she had just given birth to the baby that police found in her lap. That baby was Braxlyn Sage Hancock, and she was taken to the hospital where she unfortunately was pronounced deceased. And it was later revealed that Taylor Parker had been faking her own pregnancy and as a result killed Reagan for her baby. And in October of this year, she was found guilty of capital murder. And then on November 9th, she was sentenced to death.
Yeah.
So
I can't believe that. I mean, I can, but wow.
And you know what's sick is like this is not the first case like this. There's been so many cases like this, and it's just absolutely disgusting and absolutely horrifying. And I know we both say that we, you know, teeter back and forth on the death penalty. But in this case, and based on everything I've learned about her trial and the things that she's guilty of and has done, she deserves this.
Yeah,
she 100% deserves it. So,
yeah. It's so sick. I can't believe anybody would do that. But, oh, it just, yeah, it's scary and it's sick. And I'm really glad that justice was served.
Me too.
And, yeah.
And if you want to know more details about her trial, you can check out our TikTok. It's just Inhuman Podcast. And I kind of go into a little more detail over there. But that's the update on that. And I just wanted to share that with you guys today.
Yeah, I know we've been getting a lot of messages about that, like last week when the sentencing came out and stuff. So I know a lot of people have been following that.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that, we are just going to get into today's case. So today we're going to be talking about the extremely mysterious death of Tiffany Valente. And before we get into this case, I do want to give a trigger warning because we will be discussing suicide. Now, if you've seen Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix, you may recognize the name Tiffany Valente. The episode covering her case is called Mystery at Mile Marker 45. It recently came out, and when I first heard about this case, I could not stop thinking about it, so I ended up watching the episode and then doing just looking into it more because I was like, what the heck? And I got sucked in, so I decided to cover it for the podcast.
I'll have to watch it. I haven't watched that one, and I feel like I watch every single thing that comes out true crime documentary wise.
It's very interesting. I will say it's a little biased in one direction because the family is interviewed. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely some things I found that were not discussed in the episode.
Okay.
But I also think that there's a lot of stuff talked about in the episode that's really important. So, yeah, I think it's good to know the background and then watch the episode.
Okay.
And also at the end of the episode, they have a little QR code and it links to like the Unsolved website. But from that, you can go and find a whole Dropbox file of a bunch of official documents, like official medical examiner reports and like private investigator reports and all this stuff. And I will have that linked on our website for this episode. If you didn't know, on our website, we have a little description for each episode and all of our sources. So I'll have that linked there in case you want to like go in because it's super interesting.
Yeah, that does sound interesting. I'll have to check that out.
Okay. At 11:07 p.m. on July 12th, 2015, a New Jersey transit train struck 18-year-old Tiffany Valente, killing her instantly.
Oh my God.
The tracks were running just outside of the small community of Mays Landing, about 20 miles outside of Atlantic City.
Okay.
By the time the train came to a stop, Tiffany's body was almost unrecognizable. The medical examiner's report concluded that she died from multiple traumatic injuries. And there is a full report of her injuries that you can find, but I'm not going to go into much detail. Just know that her body had been crushed and was severely dismembered.
Oh my gosh.
Tiffany's official cause of death is multiple traumatic injuries, and her manner of death was ruled as a suicide.
Okay.
In less than 24 hours after Tiffany was hit, New Jersey Transit declared her death as a suicide, and it was pretty much an open and shut case. One of the engineers operating the train that hit Tiffany told police that she had darted or jumped onto the tracks and that she didn't move when he had sounded the horn. Mm-hmm. The case was about to be written off as a tragic suicide, but Tiffany's family were not about to let that happen. The Valentes were adamant that foul play had to be involved.
Okay.
Tiffany had no reason to take her life. She had actually recently graduated from high school and in the fall was going to be attending Mercy College in New York on a volleyball scholarship.
Okay.
So with that, let's back up a little bit and talk about the backstory here. Tiffany Valente was born in 1997 to her parents, Diane and Steven. She had two older step-siblings that her mom had from a previous marriage, and she played for the high school volleyball team. She was very athletic and was a really good player. Because as nice. I mentioned, she got a scholarship.
Right.
And she was actually going to be a starter, which her mom said is rare that a freshman would be a starter on a college team.
That's amazing.
So that just tells you how good she was. She was really tall. She was 6'2". She's very athletic. Like, she was just, you know, had, it seemed like she had her life.
Very driven.
Yeah. She was very driven. She was very happy. She was friendly. She just... everything seemed to be going right for her.
Right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Life doesn't come with a user manual, even though I sure wish it did, especially on those days when it feels like absolutely nothing is going right. It can be overwhelming, to say the least, and sometimes the solution to those feelings means reaching out for help. That's why I'm glad online therapy exists, because with our busy schedules, seeing someone in person can often feel pretty impossible.
Yeah, and if you've ever heard me talk about therapy, you know that I am a huge believer that everyone should talk to a therapist. You know, life is hard, life can be confusing, and sometimes you just need someone to talk to help you understand what's going on in your own head, in your own life, and it just can be so helpful. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and situations and help you learn productive coping skills, which is certainly something I think we can all use.
Definitely. Therapy personally has gotten me through some of the toughest times in my life, from being a rebellious, angsty teen to a young adult trying to figure out what to do with my life. Had it not been for therapy, those situations would have been so much more difficult to cope with. And honestly, I wish back then they had online therapy like BetterHelp.
As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist, and if things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. You can learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/inhuman.
That's betterhelp, HELP.com/inhuman.
So on the evening of July 12th, 2015, Tiffany was at her uncle's house across the street attending her cousin's graduation party. Witnesses from the party recalled Tiffany enthusiastically talking about her college plans and about plans for her mother's upcoming birthday. Around 9 p.m., Tiffany's parents got a call from a friend of Tiffany's who claimed that Tiffany had used her debit card without her permission.
Oh.
So Stephen and Diane left the party to go back to their house and meet up with that friend and her mom at their house. When they got there, the friend was shouting that Tiffany had used her debit card, but Tiffany was denying this. She was like, I didn't do that. And they were only there for about 10 minutes until 9:24 p.m. when the friend and her mother left.
Okay.
Now, Tiffany kept denying using this debit card, but her parents weren't so sure that she was telling the truth because just a few months earlier, Tiffany had been caught stealing money from her parents' bank account. So after the friend left, her parents were talking to her about it, and she actually admitted to using the card. Of course, Diane was like, we didn't raise you like that. What are you talking about? So Diane went inside to get Steven, and when they came back outside, Tiffany was gone.
Oh, no.
And she was never seen alive again.
Jeez.
Steven and Diane began searching for Tiffany, walking up and down the street, looking behind houses. And her uncle claims that he knew she wouldn't go far on foot because she was apparently afraid of the dark. They started contacting her friends to see if she was with anyone, but no one had seen her. And they all started texting, calling her, trying to find her, but no one was hearing from her.
Okay.
It is reported that after Tiffany disappeared, Diane called a friend of Tiffany's to tell her that Tiffany ran away, but Diane since denied using that phrase. So it's unclear. Also, it was like, it could have been the heat of the moment, like Diane like, was just oh my gosh, Tiffany
ran away from me, not she ran away from home to start a new life or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's unclear if that was said. And if it was, I don't think you can really take anything from it because,
right.
You know, don't know how you're going to react in a moment like that.
Exactly.
Now, the family had a deer camera at the end of their driveway, and it actually captured a photo of Tiffany walking away at 9:28 p.m. The same camera then shows her parents and their dog walking out at 9:29, and Tiffany was gone, and they couldn't see her, like, you know, peering down the street or anything. They couldn't right. see her. So she was far enough gone within that minute that they couldn't see her by just looking around.
Okay.
So they continued searching around their house, but what happened over the next about hour and a half with Tiffany is pretty much unknown. Around 11:30 p.m., her parents found her phone laying at the bottom of the driveway, like in the grass. And this was really unusual because they said that she never left her phone,
right?
Saying, quote, that phone was locked to her hand 24/7.
Yep. Just like every other teenager in the world. And
yeah,
20 and 30 somethings.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's like the life we live today. And yeah. In 2015, she was 18 years old. That was her life. So mm-hmm. she always had her phone with her. So when they saw that laying there, they were like, that's weird.
Right.
So this is when they knew that something had to be wrong and they called the police and reported her missing.
Now, in the surveillance footage, was there any, like, did they see her throw her phone or anybody, like, around Mm-mm. that could have grabbed her and she dropped it?
No, I think the phone was found before the camera.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And then there's nobody else seen in the footage, like, walking by, driving by, or anything. It's just okay. Tiffany walking away.
Okay.
So this was around 11:30 when they reported her missing, but unfortunately, at 11:07 was when the train had struck and killed Tiffany, but they didn't know that yet.
That's so terrible.
As I mentioned earlier, Tiffany's death was believed to be a suicide by police in the initial days of the investigation. On July 16th, 2015, just 4 days after Tiffany's death, police had a canine unit sent to track Tiffany's movements. They had no way to track her movements. There were no cameras, there were no footsteps, anything like that.
She didn't have her phone.
Yeah, exactly. So the next best thing is canine tracking the scent, which of course isn't perfect, but mm-hmm. definitely can be used.
Right.
So the trail mapped out by the canine units and their handlers led from Tiffany's home along a more than 3 mile route to the general area where she was struck by the train. And they further use this to say she basically walked from her home to the train and committed suicide. But her family, again, were not convinced. They actually hired an attorney, Paul D'Amato, and he began looking into the files from New Jersey Transit. And he said initially he was convinced that he was going to look through them and tell the family, I'm so sorry, but this is what happened. But when he started looking into the records, he wasn't so sure.
Okay.
Now, the police were operating off this theory that she had walked that route by herself. No foul play, nobody was involved. But when searching the surrounding areas, Tiffany's mother actually found evidence against that fact. So Tiffany's new shoes and headband, which she had been wearing earlier that night and was seen wearing on that camera footage, were found about a mile from the family home, which was about 2 miles from where she was killed.
Okay.
So they weren't right near the train tracks. They were like a couple miles away from where she was killed.
Right.
And they were, quote, neatly lined up under a tree. And there is a photo of how they were found, and I'll post it on our Instagram so you guys can go look at it. But they're kind of just sitting there. I wouldn't say they're, you know, usually, I don't
like
know
posed.
About you guys, but like, yeah, sometimes when you take off your shoes, you like put them next to each other.
Yeah.
But sometimes you kind of just like take them off where you're standing.
I pretty much just take them off where I'm standing. I don't really fix them ever.
So it's like more like, I only fix them when I'm like cleaning the house.
Yeah.
It's more like that where you kind of like take them off where you're standing.
But then so they're like staggered kind
of. Yeah, exactly. Like okay. They're kind of like far apart. You know, it doesn't look like somebody like took them off and neatly put them there, which is what I first thought when I read the report.
Okay.
But it also doesn't look like they fell off or like was a result of like somebody tripping and then taking off the shoes because you had to run or something like that. They definitely were like just like left there. So the shoes and headband were found in that area, and so she was barefoot when she was killed, and she was also only wearing underwear at the time of her death.
Wait, when she ran in front of the train, she was only in her underwear?
That's what is believed. When she was found, she was only wearing her underwear. That being said, she was severely dismembered and,
right.
You know, so who knows what could have been taken off. But
what are the odds of this, just her clothes and not her underwear? Got removed right. During the accident, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But investigators on the case concluded that she must have, like, stripped down as she walked through the woods.
Okay.
Now, her shirt was found, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but her shorts that she was wearing have never been found to this day.
Interesting. Okay.
And they have searched the surrounding area so much, and it's not like there's
right.
That much more space that they could have flown off into.
Right.
So her family found all of this very suspicious. And her mom also recalled that she had actually made plans for the following week. She was planning to play softball the following Wednesday. And the next day, she was planning to go to Six Flags Great Adventures with her friends. So she was like
making all these plans. Yeah.
Yeah. Tiffany's family also believes that the investigation was mishandled from the start. So this initial investigation was mainly done by the New Jersey Transit Police Department, which are not necessarily equipped to handle a murder investigation or a death investigation. You know, it's the Transit Police Department, so
right.
They're not as equipped. But there was several cases of mishandling evidence. And, you know, the scene wasn't contained. Clearly, her parents were the ones who found some of this additional evidence, like the shoes and the headband,
right.
Days after. So it just doesn't seem like the scene was properly processed.
So the police missed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So let's talk about some of the evidence that was mishandled. First of all, there was an axe with red markings on it found near where Tiffany was hit. This was collected as evidence, but it was improperly stored, so they could never do any DNA testing on it.
Excellent.
The shirt that Tiffany had been wearing that night was found and stored in a plastic bag, but that plastic bag was sealed, basically like tied in a knot.
Okay.
So it wasn't properly sealed, and the shirt became covered in mold, so they couldn't do any forensic testing on that either.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
So frustrating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On top of this mishandled evidence, there are conflicting reports from the engineers on the train about what they saw before Tiffany was hit. So in the initial report from the night of July 12th, both of the engineers, there was a student engineer and a senior engineer.
Okay.
They both claimed that Tiffany had jumped in front of the train. 6 days later, when speaking under oath, the senior engineer changed his story and claimed that he had not seen Tiffany on the tracks because he was turned around talking to the conductor, so he wasn't even looking at the tracks. So he said that right before this happened, he had gotten confirmation that their train would need to meet up with another train that had broken down so that they could, like, take all of their passengers.
Okay.
So they were, the engineer said he was discussing this with the conductor, so he was turned away from looking at the tracks. So he said he didn't see anything and said he did not know anything was wrong until the student engineer blew the horn, put the train into emergency, and said a girl had jumped in front of them.
So this was a passenger train?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
There were like over 100 passengers on it.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. The student engineer also changed his story, saying at first, again, saying he had seen her jump in front of the train. Then he changed it, saying that he did not see Tiffany, quote, until I was right on top of her, meaning like right when we hit her.
Right.
Then he changed his story a third time 10 days later, claiming to have seen something on the tracks from a half mile away and then seeing Tiffany jumping out of the woods onto the tracks.
Why? Change your story so much. Yeah.
So it's believed that he didn't do it out of like because he's hiding anything or anything. It's believed that he was in shock.
Okay, that's fair.
Most of his depositions of him in these changing stories are him completely rambling about what he had seen. Like, he's just kind of going on and on and on. So it's just kind of believed that he experienced this major trauma. He was in shock and didn't really know what he saw. And the other thing is, I'll talk about this in a little bit, but the train was moving so fast that basically he may have seen her in the air after they hit her or something like that, because of like how fast this all was. He might have not even been aware of what he saw.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and the way, like, you know, they're so high up too. I mean, if he did see her, I mean, there was absolutely nothing he could have done. Even if he tried to stop, it takes like so much to stop.
Yeah, so. They're going like 80 miles an hour. So,
yeah.
But either way, police kind of went on this from the start of the engineers saying at first that they had seen the girl jump in front of the train to say that like she was trying to do this. Mm-hmm. But I think that these inconsistencies make these witness accounts completely unusable. You can't take them for anything. But to this day, it is reported that New Jersey Transit Police Department stands behind the account from the student engineer that she jumped in front of the train.
Okay. So that could have, like, not happened at all.
Yeah. Other issues in the investigation is that Tiffany was cremated before a full autopsy could be conducted. There was no testing on her organs, no testing for sexual assault, and no DNA or forensic testing. They did do a toxicology report that came back clear. So she had no alcohol or substances in her system at all. And her death was still ruled a suicide despite all of this.
That's so interesting because, like, I feel like something must have happened between the time she left home and the time she reached the train out of the norm. And I was thinking maybe drugs because the fact that she, you know, may or may not have removed all of her clothing for whatever reason. And obviously there would be no probably no way for them to tell if she had any kind of head trauma prior to the to the accident. But it's just so so odd that all like that happened, you know, before.
No, it's very bizarre if it was that she did that. Also, investigators did not talk to friends, doctors, teachers, or even the family about Tiffany's mental state before her death. Like, it seems like they did no actual investigating. They were basically like, she jumped in front of the train, she wanted to commit suicide, and this is what happened.
And that's a case closed. Our job is done.
Now, the biggest question in this case is how Tiffany got to the site of her death. She died near mile marker 45 mm-hmm. on the local train tracks. She didn't have a car. And as we talked about, it was several miles from her house to the train tracks.
Right.
The area where she was killed is described as desolate and creepy. And it's basically nestled between the train line and the White Horse Pike Freeway, which leads to Atlantic City. So this is a very noisy area. Mm-hmm. The Valente family believes that this site was chosen because of the loud background noise and the remote privacy.
Okay.
There's been some other evidence found around the scene of Tiffany's death. It's never been connected to Tiffany. And I feel like some of it could just be, you know, it's this wooded area near train tracks. People are going to leave stuff. But I did want to mention the other stuff that was found.
Okay.
There was a sweatshirt that none of her family recognized, a folding knife that was partially rusted, an iron-on letter A. Like, if you think about, like, you know, sometimes on, like, sweatshirts or something, there's, like, the letters that you can iron on.
Right.
One of those. There was a key tag, which her family thinks that she possibly may have grabbed during a struggle.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was also a towel with blood on it. Now, DNA testing on this towel did confirm that the DNA was from a male, but the person that it belonged to has never been identified, and further DNA testing on that towel is not possible because the sample was contaminated. Yeah.
All right.
The Valentes are adamant that the investigation was botched, and if it hadn't been, Tiffany's true manner of death could be determined.
That is so frustrating. Even if none of that happened and she did do what the police are claiming she did, like, give them a fair shot. It's like not, yeah. It's
they didn't
completely
even
messed
to the
up.
Family.
I know.
To say, like, was she struggling mentally? Like, they didn't do any of that.
And they should have. There should, even with a suicide, there still should be some sort of investigation.
Yeah, 100%.
To make sure and rule everything else out.
Yeah. Now, I also want to mention the other side of this, because while the Valentes claim that there was no reason that Tiffany would want to take her own life, there is some evidence that could point to that as well.
Okay.
In 2014, the year before Tiffany's death, Child Protective Services actually made 3 visits to the Valente home after one of Tiffany's teachers noticed a bruise on her arm that had come from her mother during an argument. So it sounds like it was like an argument. Her mother grabbed her arm. But the teacher reported this, and Tiffany and Diane did go to see a counselor. But when they did, they claimed that their arguments were, quote, normal teenage stuff. 6 months before Tiffany's death, Tiffany actually came out to her family as gay. Apparently, her mother initially dismissed her, saying she was just going through a phase. But Diane has since said that both her and Tiffany's father, Stephen, were supportive.
Okay.
She actually had recently broken up with a girlfriend, but there are reports that somewhere on her phone, and I've seen some reports say it was a tweet, but I couldn't confirm that, but somewhere it seems like she wrote a message saying that she was content with life. So it seemed like at least breakup-wise, she was feeling okay.
Okay.
Now, friends of Tiffany suggested that she was potentially more troubled than her family realized. They said that she had recently become lonely and distant, and some friends claimed that they knew that Tiffany had engaged in self-harm in the past.
Okay, but that does not mean that you want to kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There are differences between those two things.
There are, and Tiffany did go to therapy several times, and the summary from one of her latest visits claimed that said that Tiffany claimed to neither be depressed nor suicidal, and her friends reported never hearing her talk about taking her own life.
Okay.
So I just wanted to share the other side of things because, right. You know, it's we got to talk about all the evidence, but there's definitely two sides to this. In 2017, the Valente family filed a civil suit, and this led to an independent medical examiner analyzing the evidence in the case. So this is H. Louise Hausman, used to work for the medical examiner's office, and in her investigation into the case, she concluded that if Tiffany had walked the route barefoot, as the original investigation concluded, because her shoes were found far away, her feet would have shown severe damage, which is not seen at all in the crime scene photos. The crime scene photos show the bottom of her feet and show that there are no abrasions at all. So it's kind of weird that she walked all that way in a wooded area.
Yeah.
And there's no cuts on her feet at all.
Yeah.
Hausman also looked into the event recorder, which is basically the black box of trains. And when looking into this, she found that from the time the engineer sounded the horn, hit Tiffany, and applied the emergency brake was just 4.1 seconds. So Hausman was like, it's not clear if whatever he saw was actually what he thought he saw. Because in that 4.1 seconds, he sounded the horn, applied the brake, they hit Tiffany, and he says he saw XYZ.
Okay.
So again, it's not believed he lied about what he saw, but it's just like more
remembering
proof to point to
incorrectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't say that what he saw is what actually happened.
Right.
Hausman does not think that he saw her actually jump in front of the train.
Okay.
About Tiffany's manner of death being determined to be a suicide, Hausman said, quote, there's no reason unless you're absolutely sure that this was a suicide.
Yeah.
So she said that it should have been ruled as undetermined and should have been further investigated.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Another report from an independent pathologist named Donald Jason concluded that Tiffany's manner and cause of death were undetermined. So again, because she was cremated, there was no way to exhume her body and do another full autopsy. And a full autopsy wasn't even done in the first place.
Right.
But from all of the reports about what was found, two other independent, you know, medical examiner and pathologist basically said it should have been undetermined.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about some of the theories in this case. One theory is that Tiffany may have gotten into a car with someone that night as she left the family home. This is partially because of, you know, no abrasions on her feet. So how did she really walk? How did she disappear so quickly from the street if her family came out a minute later?
And the fact that her phone was just laying there. That to me said she was grabbed.
Grabbed. Yeah. I thought the same thing. That definitely was weird to me. So there definitely could be she was picked up by someone, but this has never been confirmed.
Right.
I don't think it's believed that it's somebody that she knew, because that was one thing that I was reading about when I was doing initial research, was some people were saying, well, maybe she called someone and they picked her up. But again, her phone was left there. Her mom was inside for a minute. Mm-hmm. There's no way she would have called someone. They would have been there that quickly.
Unless they were like already on their way or lived in the neighborhood. But even still, you would think you would see someone
so
on the
quick.
Camera.
Yeah,
driving
exactly.
by or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. So if she was grabbed, it seems like it was maybe a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't know. And this has never been confirmed. Or it's never been officially ruled out either.
Yeah.
Officially, I guess is the wrong word, because officially she
that
died by suicide.
Yeah.
But, you know. Others believe a theory that she was picked up because apparently the street that the family's home was on was very busy that night.
Mm-hmm.
There were cars lining the street because, you know, there were people there for the grad party. It was a summer night. It was just very busy. And her family remembered there being people out walking. So her mom was like, if she had walked down that street, somebody would have seen her.
Yeah.
She was 6'2". She's a tall girl.
Yeah.
Somebody would have seen her. And nobody came forward to say, oh, yeah, we saw her walking down the street that night. Another theory revolves around the story that she was murdered elsewhere and dumped on the train tracks. So there was reportedly a large amount of blood pooled at the scene, which is more consistent with a body being left there than it coming from her being hit by a train. But I will say this information is controversial because there's no official reports about the blood that was documented at the crime scene. And because it was such a brutal scene, it's hard to say.
That blood definitely didn't come from there. Like the accident.
Yeah.
The scene.
Yeah. Exactly. Many investigators theorize that she did take her own life that night. One of Tiffany's classmates alleges that she heard that Tiffany had sent a friend a message that night saying, quote, just answer yes or no. Should I do it? Now, This is a huge rumor. We don't know if it's true. This is somebody saying that they heard that this happened. It's
never
it's
been
very
substantiated.
Yeah, never okay. been substantiated. It's just, it doesn't seem like
that. Sounds like that you can some take teenagers making up rumors to make the story sound more like not
dramatic.
Yeah, like more dramatic, more entertaining, yeah. or whatever for
yeah
gross purposes. But yeah,
but officially, Tiffany's manner of death is still ruled as a suicide. There was an reinvestigation into the investigation in 2018, and it came to the same conclusion.
Okay.
And officially, her case is closed, but her family is still adamant that something happened to her, and they just want to know the truth. No matter what happened to Tiffany that night, she's remembered as a beautiful, bright, energetic young girl. She is missed dearly by her family and friends, and they are still hoping for justice for Tiffany. If you have any information about the case, you can contact the law offices of Paul D'Amato at 1-609-926-3300, or you can submit a tip at unsolved.com. But that is the case of the death of Tiffany Valente, and I don't know what I think
about it.
What you believe,
yeah. Does her family have any, have they come forward with anyone they think could do this to her?
They haven't, and I think they truly think it was like a stranger.
Yeah.
I think their working theory is basically she was grabbed, she was maybe assaulted, she put up a fight, and then either she was running away or somebody pushed her or something like that.
See, that's what I was wondering when the conductor said he saw her jump in front. Maybe mm-hmm. she was running away from somebody and just the shock, the adrenaline, yeah. just she didn't even connect that there was a train coming, you know?
Yeah. No, I definitely think it's hard to come to a conclusion because I definitely think the investigation was botched mm-hmm. and I think that it wasn't properly fully investigated. I mean, just the fact that they didn't interview
and the evidence
and talk to friends and family and the evidence that was mishandled and mm-hmm. a full autopsy wasn't done. It doesn't matter what the manner or cause of death is. A full autopsy should always be done. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. So it's hard to come to a conclusion. I want to believe the family, but it's hard to even say I 100% believe the family because we just don't know
don't
a lot of the evidence.
All the details. Yeah.
Yeah. But either way, I don't think it was a fair investigation. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was done properly. And I think that she should have gotten more time, a proper investigation.
Yeah.
And they should have looked into all of this a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'd love to hear what you guys think about the case. So let us know on Instagram and or Facebook, where I'll post photos of some of the evidence, like the shoes, and also of the beautiful Tiffany. I'll have the contact information if you have any information. I'll have that below in the show notes. And that's all I have for you guys today. We will see you on Thursday with a brand new episode. And until then, keep it human.
Bye.